Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, Thou who hast created us and brought us thus far along the journey of life, Thou who hast surrounded us with so many blessings and given to us so many opportunities and set before us so many challenges, we give Thee the sincere gratitude of our hearts today for all of Thy blessings, for the beauty of this day, for the joy of Christian fellowship, and for this privilege of worship. We confess to Thee, O God, our sins, as we look within ourselves and measure ourselves by Jesus Christ our Lord and His example. We recognize our failures and we confess to Thee our unworthiness, our mistakes, our sins. Accept, we pray, our confession, and give us today within our hearts the resolution that we need to overcome the temptations of life. Give us, O God, we pray, the determination that tomorrow shall be better than today. We give Thee especially our gratitude today for this seminary and for this wonderful week. We thank Thee for the history of Southeastern, for all of those who labored to bring it into existence, for all of those who by their labors and their prayers and their struggles helped to bring it to what it is today. We thank Thee for the present. We thank Thee for the future, which we know by Thy power and Thy grace are assured. Lord God, we give to Thee the future. We thank Thee for our denomination. We are grateful for all that it has done for us and for the world. We thank Thee for the president of our denomination who comes to us today. We ask that Thou bless him and his leadership and his labors and his vision. We pray for unity in our denomination, for a vision of service in a troubled world. Breathe upon us now, O Holy Spirit, and grant to us a full measure of Thy love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We are glad and grateful that Dr. K.O. White made the long trip from Texas to be at the inaugural service yesterday and to bring the message at this hour. Dr. White was born in London, England, but has spent most of his life in the United States. He earned the BA degree at the University of Louisville and the THM degree and the THD degree at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. In the latter school, he was associated with Dr. E.A. McDowell, who arranged this service today. Across the years, Dr. White has devoted his mind and heart, his time and energy to the Christian ministry as a pastor. For the past 10 years, he has been pastor of the First Baptist Church of Houston, Texas. During recent months, he has been thrust into very heavy and very significant responsibilities of leadership among our Southern Baptist people. As president of the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and since May of this year, as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He brings to these tasks the resources of intellectual ability, tireless energy, and a strong faith in God. It is a privilege to welcome him to this chapel and to present him to you at this time. Dr. White.
President Binkley and friends, let me express again my sincere pleasure in this privilege of spending a brief time upon the campus at Southeastern and of sharing in the inaugural ceremonies. I am grateful for this and for the privilege of renewing again fellowship with Dr. Staley, Dr. McDowell, Dr. Green, and others whom I have known across the years. I'm happy to have my own preacher brother from Virginia in the chapel service this morning. I'm so grateful to you for making me feel thoroughly at home. These vacant seats right down here at the front. This is exactly the way my people do to me on Wednesday evening in the First Church Houston. We fill out the back seats first. We believe, of course, in the security of the believer, but we are thoroughly committed to personal backsliding. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention does not speak officially for Southern Baptists, and he had better not try, for he will learn very quickly that he does not speak for all of them. But I believe that this is an occasion when the president of the convention could say with assurance that he speaks for the overwhelming majority of Southern Baptists in saying that we are deeply gratified that when selection was made for the second president of this seminary, that the choice fell upon Dr. Binkley, and that we predict a wise, firm, fruitful administration, and will be praying with him, with the faculty, with the student body, that in the providence of God, you will have a marvelous ministry here together. Let me, in these few moments, talk with you, not as president of the Southern Baptist Convention, but as pastor, as one who has had the inestimable privilege of serving with Southern Baptists for over 35 years. In the second chapter of Ezekiel, a very brief passage, there are, I believe, four things that are significant for us. He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. I do not need to remind you at all that among the molders of history stand the great Hebrew prophets of the Old Testament. They were spokesmen for God. They were statesmen who gave wise counsel and leadership. They were preachers who revealed God's will and purpose. They were forerunners of New Testament preachers who have built and continue to build upon the foundations which they laid. Ezekiel was one of them, and Ezekiel preached under very difficult circumstances to a displaced people in a strange land in a spiritual drought. Jeremiah had preached to some of this same crowd in Judah and Jerusalem, and without much success. I think for us there are four things which could be significant in this brief passage. First, a divine calling. I send thee unto the children of Israel. I send thee. This is a divine calling. A man does not simply choose to be a preacher of his own inclination, of his own desire, or of his own ambition. He does not choose to be a preacher. He is chosen. Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. To Moses there came the voice of God saying, I will send thee to Pharaoh, and thou shalt say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go. To Samuel, when he was just a boy, the voice of God calling him by name until he answered, Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. To Isaiah, as a young man in the temple, the voice of God came saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? To which he replied, Here am I. Send me. To Amos, following the plow in the hill country, came the voice of God saying, Go, speak to my people Israel. So it has been through the years. God has spoken. Men have heard his voice and responded to it. To the apostles, Jesus simply said, Follow me. To Saul of Tarsus, who met the Lord that day on the roadside, the word, I will send thee unto the Gentiles. And having been called, this is not a fleeting, temporary moment. It is something permanent and enduring. And having put our hand to the plow, we are not to turn back. The second thing, a difficult assignment. I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. He will not send us to green pastures and still waters. He will not send us to promising fields with marvelous potential. He will not send us to assured success. He will not send us to a place of privilege and recognition and ease. He will not send us to security and happiness, but rather to face perverse, stubborn, selfish, sinful human nature, and to wrestle with it, and to know blood and sweat and tears, and to know night hours of soul anguish and travail, to know disappointment and discouragement and frustration, to spend much of our time trying to encourage Christians to do the things that Christians ought to love to do, to be face to face with the small, mean, selfish, envious, jealous qualities of human nature, to feel at times that you're marking time and beating the air. There are no easy places. There are merely some that are not as difficult as others. Don't envy the pastor of the great so-called influential church. Along with the great opportunity go the great problems, the great burdens, the great difficulties, the heartbreaking responsibilities. Don't ever envy the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Just pray for him. Probably there is not a man among you who stands more greatly in the need of prayer than he. There is a divine calling. I send thee. And there is a difficult assignment. And wherever you go, it will be a difficult assignment. For you will face the powers of darkness and of Satan and of sin. And you will wrestle with all the perversities and weaknesses of human nature until at times your soul may grow weary and weak within you. Wherever it may be and whatever it may be, it will be a difficult assignment. The third thing is a definite message. I send thee unto the children of Israel to a perverse, rebellious nation. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. To Jonah, God said, preach unto Nineveh the preaching that I give thee. To Ezekiel, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. A definite message. And it is in this book. For this is his word. It is sure. It is dependable. It is reliable. And it is filled with life and power. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world of confusion and bewilderment and frustration, a world which has lost its way, was there ever greater need for a definite message? A message given in certainty and assurance. Recently, I was in another meeting in which one of the speakers said, you know, there are some men who have a direct line to the Almighty. They always know what he is thinking. They always know his purposes. They always know his will. And when they stand up, their voice is the voice of God. Well, there may be such men. I don't know that I know any. But I am assured of this, that when we shall take this book, given to us by revelation, and when we shall believe it unhesitatingly, and when we shall follow where it leads, and when we shall proclaim its message with no uncertain sound, God will use it. People will be saved. His people will be strengthened, and his work will bear fruit. A definite message. Now, it may not be what we would like to say. And it may not be what the people would like to hear. And it may not be popular. In fact, it will not always be popular. And it may not always produce the results that we had expected. But it will produce results. The last thing, a distinct ministry. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. A divine calling. I send thee. A difficult assignment to a rebellious nation. A definite message. Thus saith the Lord God. And a distinct ministry. The all important thing for us is that no matter where we go, no matter what our specific assignment may be, we shall fulfill that assignment to the glory of God. When we have completed our work, what shall they say? There stood among us a man of scintillating, dynamic, attractive personality. There passed among us a man of renowned and well-known scholarship. There was in our midst a man of fine culture and dignity. There was here among us the best-dressed man in the community. There was here a good mixer, always able to be the center of the crowd. There is a man who is an outstanding administrator and organizer. There was a man who is a tremendous promoter of all the things sponsored by our denomination. Or could it be said somehow, even though they might not have agreed with us, God's man came this way. There was a prophet among us. I remember a great New Testament preacher who said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then you read the rest of the book and you realize that he is not saying that he never preached anything but the cross, but he is saying that he preached the cross. He is not saying that he never preached anything but the cross, but he is saying that he made the preaching of the cross central and primary in all his ministry. He's not saying that he never preached anything but the cross, but he is saying that he related everything in his ministry to the cross of Christ. Wherever the days more difficult and confusing and bewildering than these days, some of us had the privilege of spending some weeks in the Orient this past spring, in connection with the New Life Movement in Japan, in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, in other areas. People asked us when we came back, as they had asked when we were over there before, well, what impressed you most? This is no problem. Just immediately, this is the answer. People. Multiplied millions of people. 95 million people in Japan, of whom less than 2% know the Lord Jesus. Your heart is bound to be stirred within you, as Paul's heart was stirred in Athens. It is bound to burn within you. Even as Ezekiel said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire within my bones, and I was weary with restraining. There's given to us a divine calling. I send thee a difficult assignment to a rebellious nation. A definite message. Thus saith the Lord. And I would pray for each of us that ours might be a distinct ministry, that they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. It will not be easy. It will be a difficult assignment. At times your heart will sink within you, but you will be sustained by the assurance that he who called us goes with us all the way. These are days for strong convictions. These are days for a positive, definite message growing out of God's eternal word. These are days for a new thrust in revival and evangelism in a world which has lost its way. Shall we pray together? We thank thee, our gracious Lord, for thy word, for the power of thy spirit, and for the marvelous privilege of serving thee. Bless the seminary, every faculty member, every student. Bless our denomination. Keep us close to thee, loyal to thee, and make of us a great witnessing people. For we pray in the name of Jesus.